Welcome to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm Mike Pesca.
And I'm Rob Sachs. And Mike, I want to play for you a little sound effect.
Play it.
That would be the sound of a baseball hitting a bat. Hopefully, maybe you're thinking that was Matt Stairs crushing his home run during the this year's NLCS.
And then waddling around the base.
Yes, you know, for the Phillies winning, going to their first World Series since 93. But that was a sound effect. But it illustrates the point of today's topic, which is foul balls.
Foul balls. What aspects of them? How to keep fouling them off until you get a sweet one over the plate and take Jonathan Broxton yard?
That would be a good one. But no, this is from the fan's perspective. It's how to catch a foul ball.
Interesting. So I remember hearing on another medium, although most of my media diet is the What Would Rob Do podcast, but I remember hearing an interview with a guy who's caught like thousands of foul balls.
I believe you're talking about Zach Hample.
I've collected 3,816.
Wow. And that means he must have gone to at least, well, to collect 3,000 foul balls. How many games does he go to? How does he do it?
Well, I think it's been over 700 games. But here's the thing is that the vast majority of the balls he gets are from batting practice or from ball girls or from asking the players themselves when they're in the bullpen. So only 124 of them have been hit foul or home run balls.
But to actually catch over 100 foul balls at baseball games, I can't imagine that. How does he do it?
Well, there are a couple of things. The first thing he says, which is kind of obvious but you kind of forget about, is to bring a glove. Trying to catch it with your hat is stupid because most likely maybe it'll land on your head or your crotch or whatever.
As an illustration of that, very rarely in a game will there be a pop-up to the outfield and you see a professional go to the cap. Almost never.
No, they never go to the cap. So the other thing Zach says is that he chooses his seat wisely.
If you can be sitting on the end of a row, so you're on the stairs, and you're right behind an aisle, you can jump up and move in four directions.
See, it's all about having movement and being on different axes. And the more area you can cover, you can actually run down and maybe even field your own foul ball.
A pop-up can have a lot of hang time, and you can run the length of several sections sometimes, again, depending on the stadium and the circumstances.
Now, here in D.C., I went out to Nationals Park, where the Nats play, and I talked with usher Rick Neave.
We're behind the Nationals dugout, and we're in what we tell our fans and our guests when they come into the game, prime foul ball territory.
So that's between sections 127 and 134. This is right along the first base side, because that's where a lot of the right-handed hitters will foul a ball off. So, you know, Zach also says there's certain things you can do to prep yourself for the game. For instance, know that on a two-strike count, players are a lot more likely to foul a ball off. And then, you know, Rick, the usher, said there's certain players, too, you want to keep an eye out for. For instance, here in D.C., he says Ronnie Belliard fouls a ton off. So there's certain things you can do to get ready watching the game. And really, the more you know the game, the better a chance you have to be in position to get a foul ball.
Have you ever caught a foul ball?
I've never caught a foul ball. I think one of the problems is that I go on really big games because I want to see a really good game. I want to see that. That's the exact wrong thing to do.
Right.
You have to go on the most boring game where there's nobody in the stands because it's a game of numbers.
Right.
And, you know, Zach tries to figure out what games to target just for catching a foul ball.
During the season, I read every box score every day. And at the bottom of each one, it lists the attendance. And I always make sure to look at that. And I do try to choose my games accordingly.
So the more boring the game, the better your shot of getting one. I don't know if like that's worth your money to sit through a boring game. He also says if it starts raining, sit through those rain delays. If it's a blowout, you know, move down when everyone else is leaving, get their stubs or something. The less people you're competing against, the better your odds have. Now,
right, especially because you're the only one who knows the positioning and wears the glove and knows the secrets. But our problem is I'm a fan of the Mets, and they're good, and they usually sell out. You're a fan of the Phillies, and they're really good, and they sell out in that small new ballpark. I guess it helps to be a fan of the Nationals.
Or a fan of the Marlins. I mean, they only average 17,000 fans. I mean, you have much better odds if you go down to Florida, you know, and sit with their lame fans. But yeah, if you go to
Well, it's actually easier to get a foul ball there because they'll just invite you to be part of the team.
I know, they stink.
Yeah.
So, but there's another problem. Even if you do catch a foul ball, there is a huge problem you have to overcome.
What's that?
Etiquette.
at least 99% of the time, the adults who may get a ball will give the ball to kids in the stands, and they'll distribute them pretty equitably. That is the etiquette here.
Isn't that so lame? So basically, you fulfill your life's wish of getting a foul ball, and then all the other fans boo you and shame you into giving it away to little Joey sitting next to you.
Oh, that is terrible.
But you know what? That was the opinion of Rick Neve, the usher, and I think he was giving fans a little bit too much credit because I asked ball girl Stephanie Kelly that same question and got a very different response.
Oh, I don't think so.
No.
No. Guys, girls, doesn't matter. They all keep it.
They really don't care.
No. They want that ball just as much as any of those kids do.
Yeah, so she's seen it a little bit different from her perspective on the field. Now, fortunately, Mike, for you and me, we have kids. We can bring them to the game, and we can, you know, say, hey, this is not for me. And this is a practice Rick supports.
Absolutely. People will literally hold their little kids up and say, look at my cute little kid. Throw me a ball.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
you know? I was going to suggest, like, bring your glove, position yourself well, and at least bring a photo of someone who could plausibly be your child. And then when you catch the ball, you just show the photo saying, I'm giving it to him.
Or wear, like, a world's best dad hat or T-shirt and say, hey, hey, this isn't for me, you know?
Right. And most people in the stands would go, wait a minute, you can't wear the T-shirt unless you are the world's best dad. It must be the case.
It's totally true. Now, here's the thing, though. I mean, going back to Zach Hample and how he's gotten 3,000 balls, you know, just from the ball girls or the pitchers or whatever, that's really, if you really want to come away with a souvenir, that's the way to go. Except, again, you run into that kid thing. So he says he raises his voice to call and say, hey, can you throw me a ball? Or he dresses all sloppy. He tries to be, I mean, he's my age. He's in his 30s, right? And but he's like, hey, how about a ball, right? you know, he'll even go and wear the opposing team's hat to try curry favor from the opposing bullpen because he says they want to throw to the, you know, their own fans and stuff. It's pretty sneaky. Now, the sneakiest thing,
though, to a road game with a Marlins hat, they're like, oh my god, we have fans.
I know, they're like, here, take the ball. But the sneakiest thing I thought he did was that he actually went out and learned how to say toss me a ball in many different languages, including Japanese.
I'll say choto bo oro nagete kudasai.
That's pretty good, right?
That's awesome. All right, Rob, so you know we've danced around the subject. Would you like to hear my foul ball and foul puck stories?
Yes, I mean, we've talked about this all the time, and I'm trying to tell you all these things that I'm learning. And meanwhile, you're sitting there so coy, having already been a recipient of both a foul ball and a foul puck. Mike, please tell me, how did you do it?
In both cases, injuries to children played a primary role. I was about 13 years old at a Mets game. Hubie Brooks, the former Montreal Expo, sitting on the first base side. A lot of the things that you detailed about what to do strategically just happened to happen to me. One, almost an empty stadium. Two, down low on the first base side. Three, I was on an aisle. What happened was Hubie Brooks fouled off a ball, hit a girl in the head, boing, bounced off the girl's head, and I caught it. Now, there was some pressure for me to give the ball to the girl as she was being carted away for medical attention, but that didn't even cross my mind. And luckily, I was 13. I think if I was a little older, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, you were right on the cusp there. That's pretty good, though. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. If there's an injury to another fan, that kind of ups the ante there. I like it.
Yeah. It made it all the more sweet. And the hockey game was a Pittsburgh Penguin versus New York Islander game. I was standing behind the goal. Obviously, more ricochets will happen behind the goal. And I was sitting on an aisle, and the puck went into the aisle. And instead of trying to actually scoop it up with my hands or to try to locate it in some other way, I just dove on the general area I thought the puck would be. And somewhere under my body was not only the puck, but a very distraught 12-year-old.
Oh, man. Again, abusing kids. Wow. Well, Zach pointed out to me that no child has ever been hurt, you know, in his path trying to get a ball. But you're two for two with little kids being hurt.
When it comes to foul pucks and balls, I have a no child left behind policy.
Well, that's great. I mean, need you say more? I think not.
That is awesome stuff. And I want to thank you, the listener, for joining us here on What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm Mike Pesca.
And I'm Rob Sachs. And I want to remind listeners out there that if they have a foul ball story they want to share, or maybe some techniques we didn't cover, head to the What Would Rob Do blog over at npr.org, where you can click and share in the fun. All right, see you there.